I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. We're back with Sarah Scholes, science writer whose work has appeared in The Atlantic, Slate, Smithsonian, The Washington Post, Scientific American, Popular Science, Discover, New Science, and Wired. A former editor of Astronomy Magazine, she worked at the National Radio Astronomy Observatory and the location of the first ever SETI project. She lives in Denver, Colorado. Sarah, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thank you for having me again.
How have you been? Everything good?
Pretty good. Yeah, doing well. Hanging out in Colorado, you know.
I've been tracking the government lately, talking about UAPs, and they still won't come across and tell us that they think they're extraterrestrial. Why not?
Yeah, it was interesting. I was actually just listening to the hearing that that happened on UAPs just the other day, and they explicitly said that they didn't think it was extraterrestrials, which is a different direction to go. I think, they say they don't have any evidence that that is what it is. So I imagine, I don't know. Why do you think?
I think they're afraid that people can't handle the truth. And I don't agree with that. I think people can. And I think most people would say, we knew they were real. We knew they existed. But for some reason, government just doesn't want to disclose it. Unless there's something very nefarious going on. Something evil going on with them, and they don't want us to know, like these abduction cases and stuff. So many people disappear off this planet every year. Maybe they're being taken. Who knows? What do you think?
I don't have anything probably like you, other than the stories that people tell, or people who do go missing. I don't know that that is part of what the Pentagon is investigating right now, but I would be interested to see some of that hard data on all of it.
Give us your thoughts, Sarah, on just what you think is going on with this phenomenon.
I know this is a boring answer that nobody likes, but I try to remain agnostic about it. I think it's incontrovertible that lots of people see things in the sky they can't explain or have experiences that they can't explain, that's been true for decades and decades at least. But I haven't seen anything that convinces me that one explanation is the explanation, or that the explanation is necessarily extraterrestrials myself. I know that's not something we totally agree on, but I try to keep my mind open to all the possibilities.
So you're not leaning that way toward extraterrestrial possibilities? Not yet, anyway.
No, I'm not. I wouldn't say I'm leaning that way, no, but I would say that I don't, I don't rule it out. I don't really rule anything out, except maybe vampires flying UFOs or something. I think that one's pretty unlikely, but who knows?
Well, what about the title of your book, They Are Already Here?
Yeah, that's a question I get a lot. I probably should have titled it something different, as I'm going to be so agnostic. But I think, you know, that is something that I heard. You know, I come from the science journalism background, and so I've written and studied more on the search for extraterrestrial intelligence before I started looking at UFOs. And so when I would talk about that work to people who were very into UFOs, and I would say, you know, there's these scientists searching for alien life out there, looking for their radio broadcasts, et cetera, they would say, you know, why are they doing that? They're already here. And so it was just a phrase that I heard a lot that kind of stuck with me.
One of your other books is called Making Contact, about the astronomer Jill Tarter. She's 79 years old, but she's best known for her work on the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. Tell me how you keyed in on her.
Yeah, I think that story goes back to when I was about 12 years old, which was when the movie Contact came out. I realized that, you know, that makes it pretty old now. So it's a movie about astronomers who are looking for radio signals from extraterrestrial civilizations, and there's an astronomer who's the main character who finds a signal, and that person is based on the real life Jill Tarter. And so I saw this movie when I was 12 years old. I didn't know that radio waves came from space. I didn't know that it was anyone's job to look for aliens, and I thought it was so cool that somebody got to ask these big questions about the universe and get paid for it. So I was just kind of obsessed with her back then. And so then when I grew up to be a writer and needed a book topic, I thought, well, what about that thing I've kind of always been obsessed with and that person whose work I was really interested in?
What do you think people, Sarah, are seeing? What are they spotting?
I think at a basic level, just a descriptive level, I think what people most see are lights in the sky that behave in ways that other lights in the sky that they have seen have not behaved. Something anomalous, something unidentified, something that makes them notice. I don't subscribe to the extraterrestrial hypothesis, but I don't doubt that people are seeing strange things. I've seen strange things. I'm sure you've seen strange things. There's a lot of strange things going on up there.
Well, they are, and there's a high likelihood, as far as I'm concerned, that they could be extraterrestrial, but we just can't prove it yet, can we?
No, it would be nice if that was the case, if they would just land for a second and let us say hi and see who's driving the ship.
And come out and say hi to the world, but for some reason they don't do that. Why not?
That's why we have to get them to land so we can ask them that kind of question. I don't have that answer.
If you could investigate this, how would you start again? Where would you go? Would you go to the Pentagon? What would you do?
Yeah, I think, well, you know, now it's kind of different from when I started first investigating, because there are a number of official governmental studies. You know, we have the Pentagon, and its Aero office is what it's called. And then, you know, there's a NASA study on UAP. And so I think if I were starting my investigation now, I would go there, because those organizations are going to be collecting kind of systematic data, analyzing it critically, and producing, I guess the Pentagon probably won't be producing reports we can all see, but they have the most resources. And so I think I would start there, but I also think, you know, it's important to talk to people who don't work for the government about their own experiences and things like that. So I would maybe start at the data-driven level, but still go down to the person level.
In terms of investigating, what do you think we need to do on this subject matter?
Yeah, I think, you know, when I think about this, I think about what did happen with the search for extraterrestrial intelligence study, or, you know, looking for radio broadcasts in the sky, which is what led people to take it seriously and for it to become, you know, a kind of mainstream scientific topic, was for people to create surveys where, you know, they were like, we're going to survey this part of the sky looking for these frequencies at these times, at these places, and then we're going to publish it. And so I think it's kind of, you know, systematizing it and creating consistent data. And I think if this topic wants to move more into the mainstream and be taken up by different people, like that is the direction that it could go. And we have plenty of sensors that can collect that kind of data, as we see there were a couple of videos released yesterday or the day before, or whatever the hearing was. And so, you know, there's a lot that's out there that we could look at.
Aren't you working on a book on nuclear weapons and scientists?
Yeah. I sure am. Yeah, I've spent the past couple of years going to labs run by the National Nuclear Security Administration and talking to people who work on nuclear weapons and adjacent topics.
Have you ever interviewed anybody who was at a nuke base who witnessed UFOs shutting down missile silos?
No, I have not. My book stuff was mostly focusing on the Department of Energy side of things more than the Department of Defense side of things. And so I didn't end up out there. But they would be interesting to talk to, for sure.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vast universe, what are the possibilities that there's extraterrestrial life out there, in your opinion?
Yeah, I kind of go back and forth. I've spent most of my life thinking, you know, like you said, the universe is vast. Now we know there's a whole bunch of planets. Now we know that even puny little Earth organisms can live all kinds of places. It would kind of be crazy if there was nothing else out there in the universe. But, you know, then sometimes I talk to biologists who say, you know, we don't even know how life started here. How could we possibly know how likely it is to start somewhere else? It could be very unlikely. Maybe we're the only ones out there. And so I've actually gone back to that kind of boring agnostic answer on that too, and that we don't know. But it would be awfully strange, I do think, if we were the only ones.
Well, if you take God out of the equation for just a moment, you then are puzzled by the universe and how it starts. I still, Sarah, of all the physicists and earth scientists that I've interviewed, I haven't gotten the right answer yet on how things started. They can't explain the Big Bang. Nobody can.
Yeah, and you know, what came before the Big Bang?
And how could you have something before nothing, right?
Right. I think there is a book that I haven't read that has a title of something like that tries to explain it, but I can't give the answer because I haven't read the book. So, but I don't know.
Do you know who the author is by any chance?
No, but maybe I can look it up during one of the breaks.
Okay, yeah, I'll find out about that. That's one of the biggest questions. So when you put together They're Already Here, Making Contact, what was your premise? What were you going after?
Yeah, I think with Making Contact, I was trying to just capture what it's like to be a scientist spending your whole life on a question of life in the universe that a lot of other scientists didn't take seriously, and just trying to solve a mystery that you thought you probably wouldn't be able to solve in your lifetime, but kind of trying to contribute to a bigger project of humanity. And in They're Already Here, I was talking to people who are interested in UFOs from lots of different vantage points, some of them kind of spiritual, some of them kind of political, some of them kind of conspiratorial, but they are all also united by kind of the same thing that motivates SETI scientists, which is here's a big mystery. It's been around for a while. No one has solved it. Probably I won't either, but I'm going to like put my effort toward trying to figure it out. And so I think that to me is the premise that unites them, is trying to solve a really hard problem that probably takes many generations.
Sarah, what do you think happened in July of 1947 in Roswell, New Mexico?
For me, for that one, you know, I probably an unpopular opinion over here, but I think that a nuclear test detector fell to the earth and was part of a cover-up. And so I guess I buy the cover-up story of the cover-up, I think.
Like a balloon or pieces like that, huh?
Yeah. A balloon carrying a sensor crashed to the ground. Somebody found it around the same time that other people were talking about UFOs, and that became the story. But I also wasn't there, so.
What do you think of ufologists who are dedicating their careers to trying to get this answer of whether we're alone?
I think it's a very worthwhile question. I think it's one of the most important questions that humans can ask. And, you know, it has within it, like, where did we come from? How did we get here? What is the point of anything? I think that it's kind of the all-encompassing question. Are we alone? And so full respect from me to figuring that out.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you believe in life after death?
I do not personally. No. What's your take?
Oh, of course. I think there's something there. Again, what it is, how it got here and all that, taking God out of the equation for a moment is baffling to be sure, but I think there's something there. Too many people have witnessed too many strange occurrences for me not to believe that there's something else out there. Do you believe in God?
No, but I think, I mean, for both God and the afterlife, I will say that I spent a lot of my youth being, you know, pretty black and white and atheistic about both of those, but I would say I tend on those questions to be more like I am about UFOs or life in the universe. Like, maybe I think there's not life after death, but I honestly cannot know that for sure.
So you're more agnostic. You're looking for the answers as opposed to an atheist who just doesn't believe at all.
Right, yeah. And I wouldn't say that's me. I would say I think I don't know anything in general.
Well, you were probably like the majority of scientists who just want proof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
What about faith, though? At what point does faith come in and you have to tap into that because of the lack of proof?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would say what makes you have to. Like, I think if I wanted to have a firmer belief in something that didn't have firm proof, then I would have to tap into faith. But I feel pretty okay living my life feeling like I don't know very much. That's okay with me.
Lots of pilots have witnessed seeing strange things. They don't know what's happening. Navy pilots, of course, with the Tic Tac videos. Did you ever see that, by the way?
Yeah, definitely. Many times.
I mean, clearly there's something that they're tracking, and they can't keep up with it. They don't know what it is. They could not say it's extraterrestrial. They could not say it's Russian. They could not say it's Chinese. But they all agree that they don't know what they are. So they've got to be something.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's got to be something.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just with service members, just like with other people who see things, I think they are seeing things. But I also think, you know, I was just listening to the Pentagon UAP office hearing right before this, and even the leader of that said, you know, human sensors and human-made sensors, so the brain and the instruments in fighter jets, all can be subject to misperceptions or things like that. And I think that, it doesn't mean that people don't see things, but I think we don't always see or interpret things.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.